Now we find that this man Baasha reigned longer than any other king in the north up to this point. He reigned 24 years, and we are told that this man is to be put down because he did evil. And we are told that him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth of his in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat. This was a sad period in the life of the kingdom. Now we are told that when he died, that what happened, that Elah, in the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And then we are told that he hadn't reigned but 2 years till his captain, Zimri, led a rebellion against him. He conspired against him, these conspirators in the northern kingdom. No man was safe up there. And when this man got drunk, why, Zimri went in, smote him, killed him in the 20th and 7th year of Asa, king of Judah. And so Zimri began to reign. He didn't last very long either. He lasted 7 days. And then they got rid of him, by the way. And again, another rebellion. And there was conspiracy against him. And then we're told that after him, Omri, he went up to Gibbethon, all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house, burnt the king's house over him with fire, and died. These are dark days, as you can see, for the kingdom, and darker days are yet to come. Then we are told that not only was there this conspiracy of Omri, but he had a rival, and Tibni also claimed to be king. Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people that followed Omri prevailed. And then Omri put to death Tibni, and then Omri reigned. Now he reigned over Israel, and he wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he did worse than all that were before him. He exceeded the others. That's in verse 25. And now he has a son. Omri, verse 28, slept with his fathers. He was buried in Samaria, and Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. And we're told in verse 30, and Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. This man, Ahab, he's the worst one of all. And he had a wife that really helped him. She was a real helpmeet in the area of evil. What he didn't think of, she thought of. And what she didn't think of, nobody could think of. She's a mean woman. And we're going to be talking about her next time, but God had a man there. And the right kind of a man, and it was Elijah. We're going to come now to what I believe is one of the great sections of the Word of God. And we read verse 31, it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. So that he marries a woman that did evil even more than he did. And the combination of the two make probably the worst that we possibly could have. And I think that you have here two of the worst couple. I'm sure that Mr. and Ms. Haman were very bad. And we know of Ptolemy, Dionysius, and Cleopatra. They were quite a couple. And Philip I of Spain and Bloody Mary did pretty well together. And we have several couples where the wife is dominant in diabolical designs. That was Catherine de' Medici and Henry II of France. And Bartholomew Lucretia Borgia, she was another daughter of a pope and Alfonso. They did pretty well in the realm of evil. And then there's Macbeth and Lady Macbeth and Louis XV and Maria Antoinette of France and Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. These are some of the couples that stand out on the pages of history as being evil. But none can exceed Ahab and Jezebel. They head the list. This woman, Jezebel, she's a daughter of a king who was also a priest of Baal. He'd murdered his brother. And it's interesting to know Jezebel means unmarried or without cohabitation. In other words, the marriage of Ahab and Jezebel was not a romance. It wasn't a love match. It was not a marriage. It was just a wedding. And apparently there had never been, really, a meeting of these two in a love relationship. She was a masculine woman, strong intellectual powers, with a fierce passion for evil. She's strong will, a dominant personality, and had no moral sense. She was hardened into insensibility. She was unscrupulous. She's the most wicked person in history, bar none. And in the New Testament, in the message our Lord gave to the church of Thyatira, he says, I have this against you, that you suffered this woman Jezebel to teach. And that is a period without natural affection, dominating and domineering woman. That's the picture we have before us. Now, how in the world did these two ever get together? Well, I think it's quite easy. I went for years to young people's conferences, and it's quite interesting that you could have in a young people's conference one boy who was a bad apple and a girl who was a bad egg, and for some strange reason, the bad apple and the bad egg would always get together and start dating together. Always happened like that. Well, these two got together. And something else happened in this period, which reveals how ominous and how critical the days were. In verse 34 of chapter 16 of 1 Kings, we're told, in his days, Hiel, the Bethelite, built Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof, and Abiram, his firstborn, set up the gates thereof, and his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. So that at the time of the destruction of Jericho, Joshua had said, cursed is the man that built it. It had not been built until the time of Ahab and Jezebel, and the curse that was pronounced came upon these.